Because so far, the last two or three messages, really all of them, but really the last couple messages from Chronicles and Jeremiah discussing the contrast of Josiah, their king, and Judah, the people of the kingdom, their different responses or reaction to the word of God. That Josiah received it, he researched it, he responded to it because he already had a heart that was seeking God. It was internal, became external. And then Judah, who resisted, rebelled, refused the message of Jeremiah because they were already offering externally what they declared and their religious leaders declared acceptable, and their hearts were very far from God. But it's been dealing with their respective responses to the message that was presented. Their response, their reaction to the word of God. But I want to deal in like kind with the other side of that same coin, with their response to the messenger or their response to the worker. Because there's a response to the message or the word, and there's a response to the messenger or the worker. And they're usually pretty tightly fitted together. Their reaction to the message that is given to them through Jeremiah, and how the disrespect and flippancy and dismissive spirit they had towards the message was the same spirit they had towards Jeremiah. Eventually his own people are going to kill him, the history says. And all of their enemies and all of their bondage, it's eventually a band of Jews that run down to Egypt for safety that drag him along, and they kill him down there because he won't stop preaching down in Egypt either. And just interesting. The two usually go hand in glove. Our response to the message and our response to the messenger, they're usually connected. But just to get us thinking on who it is that sent Jeremiah and whose message it was that Jeremiah brought. And it's simple, but the questions are answered in Jeremiah 1. In verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I don't think this is specific to Jeremiah, as in God has formed every life before birth. God has sanctified every life before birth. God's ordained every life before birth. And saying different purposes, different plans for your life, Jeremiah's was specific to him. But the forming and the knowing and the sanctifying, all that happened before Jeremiah was even conceived. And certainly before what today's society would say was viable life. It's a great pro-life verse because it's in there. It's on our sign, I think, or it was recently. But we see at least this idea that God is the one who sends Jeremiah. Jeremiah did not take it upon himself to go to some people and cry in their ears and say some negative, nasty things to them. Verse 10, God says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So it's God's messenger. Jeremiah doesn't send Jeremiah. I know this is it's basic, bottom shelf stuff, but we are, again, living in a day where we must have the spirit of discernment. Because as it was in Jeremiah's day, the majority of the religious leaders then and now are not sent of God. They are not representing God. Jeremiah 5, they belied God. They falsely represented him and said things that God did not say. But I'm looking at their response, not just to the message or the word of God, but their response to the messenger or the worker of God. Who sent Jeremiah? Well, God did. He's God's messenger. And what's the message? It's God's message. So God's messenger with God's message comes to this people, ordained by God, sent by God. And I know churches ordain pastors nowadays, and colleges like the licensed preachers nowadays. I still don't have one. I won't take one. You say, oh, you can't have a license to preach. It goes against everything I believe. Even the Bible college I attend, they issue all the preacher books, can sign, fill, get your license to preach. I don't need one. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I won't ever answer to a body or to anybody other than the scriptures on being a preacher of the word of God. You say, that's not what all that means. I know. It's not like, who's the guy that wrote Pilgrim's Progress? I was thinking of Paul Bunyan. I knew that was wrong. One of those Bunyan guys. Just because he wouldn't go with the flow. I tell my kids this all the time. I said, you are the unfortunate recipients of a dad who can't just sit by. Of a dad who just can't be quiet. A guy, I don't fight every battle that I'm invited to either. But a guy who, especially since 2020, said, I'm not going out this way. Right. That if this is what the world is going to come to, and 94% of preachers are just going to let it happen, then the 6% better get real loud real quick about it, with the Lord's help. But the people have a duty to respond properly to the message of God. And they have a duty to respond properly to the messenger of God. With a spirit of discernment. If he is, then this is what I should do. If he is not, get rid of him. I believe that. Josiah believed that. That he went through and tore out a lot of things. And one of the things he did was execute and burn all the false preachers. It's Sunday afternoon. Don't you're like, oh, I got the matches and we've had the kindling and the Middle East. I won't even make it that far. Let's pray and then we'll see what the Lord has for us. God, help us. We need you clearly. We need you, your word to guide us. We need your spirit to teach us all things. We might have the right heart, the right reaction and response to your message, to your messenger, to your word, and to your workers. Help us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now I'm going to speak in Jeremiah, referencing Jeremiah as a pastor, as a prophet. I guess where that title is given in chapter 3, but I'll give you pastors is where I'm going, Jeremiah chapter 3. But really, it's our response towards any messenger of God. If you're a young person and God's given you parents and they're trying to rear you in the fear and admonition of the Lord, they are one of the messengers of God in your life. You have a duty to react and interact with them a certain way. Same thing if someone was teaching the Bible or someone's working with the youth or someone's a pastor of the church. If they are the messenger of God and are presenting the message of God, then we have a duty to respond biblically as such. Jeremiah chapter 3, something profound is said here in verse number 15. God says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. They were severely lacking in knowledge and understanding, but in great part because they were lacking in pastors who were pastors according to God's heart. It says it in chapter 5, I think it is, towards the end, about how basically the preachers, the leaders, are making it up as they go and are ruling by any whim and speaking all these pleasantry things, and the people love to have it so. God tells them here, he makes them this promise, I will give you pastors according to my heart. Speaking of the leaders, the messengers he was going to give them, not just specifically pastors of a local congregation, as we would use the word today, but it certainly is in there. And I'm using it in reference to Jeremiah because he was one of the messengers, the spiritual leaders that were sent by God. God's messenger with God's message to God's people. Let me say this or read this. So someone must heed the call to go and cry. Someone must go to labor, love, and die. There's a gap to fill, a hedge to make up. Not my will, but thine as I drink the cup. Shine like a star, stand out against the dark night. Stand as salt, stop decay and spread light. Go against the grain, the majority resist. Preach the word before opportunity be missed. Embrace the loneliness, the rejection, pay the cost. Pay the price to reach the remnant as well as the lost. God told them, I will give you pastors. In Jeremiah 23, he says, I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Lacking in many areas, but certainly in chapter 3, knowledge and understanding. Somebody said it this way, according to the word of God, a pastor is a shepherd, an under-shepherd, who leads God's people, which is the church. The pastor is one who oversees. He leads, he guides, he protects, he teaches, he trains, he counsels, he preaches to, he prays with and for. And he feeds the church with spiritual food, which is the word of God. Who anyone who's called a messenger of God or calls themselves a messenger of God, and that is not a pretty close description of what they do, needs to stop calling themselves that. God makes a promise to them, I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That was going to go so contrary to everything they had heard and known up to that point. But it was not an unconditional promise. He tells them, if you will obey and follow chapter 3, verse 12, 13, and 14, I will give you. In chapter 12, chapter 3, verse 12, right there, he says, "Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." And as a side note there, we ought to be thankful that he is merciful. Amen. Why send a messenger with a message to a people that don't want it? Because he's merciful. He's a good God. He gives opportunity again and again. He says in verse 13, "Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding, and it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased." And he goes on. He tells him, if you have a heart where you are serious about the things of God, is that perfect? Absolutely not. Striving towards it, failing miserably, but not a phony, not a Pharisee, not a hypocrite who is out of the way and just pretends they're in the way, but someone who is trying to be a good sheep of the good shepherd's pasture, and you have a heart that is serious about recognizing where I'm at, repenting of where I'm wrong, and returning to God from where I have strayed. He said, if that is what your heart is serious about, then I will give you somebody to lead you. I will give you someone to lead you into an increase of your knowledge and understanding. But if you refuse and you'd rather stay deaf and blind, then I'll take him and give you the blind leading the blind. I'll let you heap to yourselves teachers having itching ears if you refuse to endure sound doctrine. God tells him, if you will recognize where you are, repent where you're wrong, return where you have strayed, I will give you a messenger with a message. He's not his own man. He doesn't make it up as he goes to say, here is some knowledge, here is some understanding. Let's follow Christ together through internal repentance to external reformation. But if you want to keep deaf ears and blind eyes, I'll take him and give you somebody else. That's as plain as I can put what he just told Judah. Jeremiah is a messenger from God, with a message from God. But how many times in their history, not just Jeremiah's day, it's their history. Because I think the history of the children of Israel is so, is it picturing or reminiscent, whatever the word might be, of human nature, of the battle between the flesh and the spirit. We go through the same vicious cycles. God would hold up his mirror to the children of Israel, and they would slam it down. He would hold up the message. He'd hold up the mirror, the word of God, and they would completely slam it down. And say, well, that's not what my pastor says. Well, that's not what prophet so-and-so says. That's not what the priest over there says. That's not what that church is doing. That's not what they say. And God would hold up the mirror. And they'd say, close it. Don't want to see that. Because it wasn't palatable to where they were at. Because God's word is not there just to soothe and comfort. Just in Jeremiah, it's referred to as a fire and a hammer that burns and smashes. In Judah and the history of the children of Israel, he'd show the mirror, they'd slam it down and say, nope, I'd rather go with the pastors, the preachers that don't know the word, and we love to have it that way. Because they had stopped, and they wanted to stop, using the word as their plumb line. Because if I'm not comparing myself to a straight edge, I won't see all my crookedness. And if I'm crooked and I compare myself to something else that is crooked, as long as I'm less crooked than they're crooked, I can call myself pretty straight. And they started operating according to, we saw this morning, the imaginations of their own heart. God would send a message, they'd slam it down. God would send a messenger. Time and time again, it was no different for Jeremiah. And he was scoffed, he was scorned, he was shunned because the message wasn't palatable. Jeremiah was not ridiculed and dismissed because of Jeremiah, but because he brought a message from God. And it wasn't palatable with what they called religion. Because preaching calls for people to change. If it's the word of God. Holiness is necessary for pure religion. Because the message is that heart work and head work and homework should precede the offering and the sacrifice and the worship. They got used to going in and they're burning incense. And in Jeremiah, they went to great lengths to find rare substances, spared no expense to offer it. And God tells them, I didn't ask you for that. I didn't even talk to your fathers about that. What I did tell them is, obey me with all of your heart. And Jeremiah says, let's get back to the word of God. Josiah says, let's get back to the book of the law. And they say, no, thanks. But it goes hand in glove usually. That's why I would submit for our consideration that it was no different for when Christ came. They treated the message and the messenger very similarly. They didn't want either. Christ wasn't the tolerant God they wanted. That hasn't changed today either. He wasn't the liberating king that they desired. He didn't come and just perform and grant wishes. He didn't lead them in keeping with their own imaginations. He didn't accept their version of religion. Christ demanded holiness and totalness. And they kicked him out of their synagogues. They threw him out of their camps. They ridiculed and mocked and crucified him. And I said it this morning that I am convinced, and I know it is hard to hear, that if Christ had have come today instead of 2,000 years ago, that the average member of mainstream Christianity would be chanting, crucify him, and think they're doing the work of God. Because he's not like the Christ in most churches today. He's not like the God of most Christians today, who have taken the best qualities of God, that the ones that we like anyway, of love and of mercy and of grace, and we've boiled it all down and mixed in our version of the flesh that we think is acceptable, and recreated a God that looks like me, and he likes what I like, and he gives me what I want, and I move him around where I want, I set him where he wants, and he does my beck and call. That's not just the ecumenical movement out there. That's most Baptist churches.
Yes.
That if Christ was to walk in and start flipping tables and saying, hypocrites and Pharisees, woe unto you generations of vipers. Most Baptists would say, crucify him, crucify him. That's the Antichrist. Jesus wouldn't talk to us like that. Look at how they abandoned and attacked the word of God. And look at how they describe and despise the workers of God. It's not just Jeremiah's day. Timothy says the same thing. The last days, one of the signs is despisers of those that are good. Yet in all of their treatment of the message and the messenger, they declare themselves to be righteous and right with God. They're saying we have to evaluate according to the scripture sometimes. What is my heart towards the message? How is my heart towards the messenger? And have discernment. Either he is the messenger of God, and that is the message from God, or it isn't. And if it's the message of God, I need to receive it, research it, and respond to it. If it is the messenger of God, I need to respect it. At least the office. Respond to it. We'll go through some of this briefly. Perfect? Absolutely not. Jeremiah would probably be the first to say that he was not the prophet everybody thinks he is in the scriptures. Probably struggled with great darkness and depression most of his life, as many of the early saints did. Paul was one of the first in the New Testament to say, I am the chiefest of sinners. Of course, he said that under divine inspiration. I believe the Holy Ghost told him to write that like he told him to write everything else he wrote. But imagine being Paul when you're writing under inspiration. I, Paul, am the chief of... Hold on. Paul wasn't writing what Paul had to say. Paul was writing what the Holy Ghost said. I'd call a timeout, but I'm not Paul. Ephesians chapter 4. That's a text I wanted to read. Ephesians chapter 4. You'll recognize some of it as we go down through it, and we won't go through it all in detail, because I don't like taking too long on Sunday afternoons. But Ephesians chapter 4. Just it caught my attention when I saw that phrase the other day in chapter 3, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And how in keeping with the New Testament that is, that the Lord Jesus said, I also have gifts for my people that I will give you. And they are to take heed to themselves, but then they are to lead and feed you. In Ephesians chapter number 4, I'll start down maybe verse 11. And he gave. It's the Lord Jesus Christ giving gifts to the church. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Sounds similar to Jeremiah. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God says the same thing, similar thing, I should say, to the church that he said to the children of Judah, that I will give my church pastors and teachers. Talks about evangelists there, talks about prophets there. And then he lays out the reasons, and I've already closed, so I have a bookmark in there, of why he would give his people such gifts. He says it in verse 12, 4, or here's the reason why he has these offices, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gives three reasons here, three primary purposes for the pastor being given to the church. The top three, world evangelism doesn't make the list. That's right. I'm not against being a soul winner. We use the term wrong because the one that went his soul, so that's not even talking about the same thing that we're talking about. It's a verse that we take out of context and we build a whole movement on. But the primary purpose of pastoring is not world evangelism. The leaders of the early church in the book of Acts, one of them who was going to be the predominant mouthpiece for the first half of the book is the apostle Peter. And what did the Lord Jesus say to him in the end of the book of John? Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. They were commanded to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. It's in there. But God said, I will give you pastors according to my heart. He says the same thing in Ephesians. And the primary purpose for the pastor is not world evangelism. But we just read what it is. And if I can alliterate it, it is elevating. It is to lead our lives to be higher and holier and closer to God. You're there in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm still in Jeremiah, that's what my outline is. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. It is to bring us higher and holier, living closer lives to God. Amen. Elevating a people is one of the primary purposes of the pastor. What's the next one in verse number 12? For the work of the ministry. Not only is it for elevating, it is for equipping. To prepare a people for the various works of the ministry, and to plug in people into the various works of the ministry. There's always a need in ministry for people to serve, but how many times do religious leaders fail to prepare people and educate people, equip people to serve in that role? It is to the primary purpose here in verse 12, to perfect, to elevate, to bring us higher and holier, to equip, to prepare us and to plug us in for service. And then it's edifying, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It is for elevating, it is for equipping, it is for edifying. It is building up the saints in the faith. And as we see in Jeremiah chapter 1, that building up is often preceded by a breaking down. It's the verse 15 of Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love. As a result, when the primary purpose for a messenger of God to a people of God, when he prepares them through the scriptures to elevate their life, to elevate their attention and their affection, to live higher and holier lives, when he equips them for service, helps train them, when he is helping to edify and build up their most holy faith, the result in the next verses of Ephesians 4 are believers who are matured in Christ. And as believers mature in Christ, A result of that is my conduct and my conversation become a better witness for Jesus Christ. Why do we have a church? For the saints. We are the called out, assembled body of believers. We come together to be elevated, to be equipped, and to be edified. So we can leave here and go preach Christ with our life and with our lips. The primary purpose, let me give you a pastor, Judah, that he may increase your knowledge and your understanding. Let me give you pastors and teachers at Ephesians, at Ephesus Church. Why? To grow you up, to elevate, to get your attention off this old stinking world and on the holiness of Christ. And set your attention and your affection on things which are above. To equip and to edify so that we mature together. And our lives and our lips go out and preach Christ. I am not against being a gospel witness. But a lot of preachers, myself included over the years, should and could and some have changed some of their preaching. To where they train guys. Every Sunday morning ought to be evangelistic. Just preach Christ and preach salvation for the lost that are in the crowd. If he tells you to that service. But every sermon is just the gospel message, which is a good message. It is the most important message. That will leave my sheep underfed. For that is the beginning. I am born again. I don't want to ever leave this. It is my foundation, Jesus Christ. Understand what I'm saying. I'm not minimizing the gospel message. But there are deeper, meatier things that God also wants to teach us than just the medical. I'm happy I'm saved. I'll just come to church and hear the story. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. That's the most important story. But the primary purpose is to elevate, equip, and edify. Jeremiah's mission was not easy. When he would be told by God, here, you're my messenger, here's the message. His mission then is to go out and stay true to the message. The messenger doesn't get to take liberty with the message. When the one who ordained him and knew him and set him apart before he was even formed said, here's my sovereign plan for your life. Here is the message that you are to proclaim. How would that messenger then call himself faithful and true if he turns around and wrestles the message and makes it more palatable for the culture? His mission was to stay true to the word of God. To proclaim the unadulterated words of God. In chapter 2 of Jeremiah verse 2, he says, go and cry in the ears. Well, that's awkward enough. Ask for the word. He's probably so used to street ministry by now that nothing phases him anymore. I don't know. Some things bother us all. But some of us have been out there. You can remember the first time you went out there to be on this street corner, whether it was here or some other place, and you feel like everybody's staring at you, and you feel the crosshairs of the sniper and there's no sniper. The flesh hates that type of ministry. And how awkward for Jeremiah to be walking through the streets of Judea and Jerusalem, crying out where they can hear him, recognize, repent, return. How awkward and difficult is that? But then in chapter 7, verse 2 of Jeremiah, he tells them this, stand in the gate of the Lord's house.
Yes.
And proclaim there this word. And say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. You can call me mean all you want. It's a long line. You sound angry when you preach. I'm always angry, so why not be angry when I preach? No. That's my new joke. No. How awkward it is to proclaim hard truth in a generic way. He said, man, love is preaching when it doesn't apply to me. And man, I think everybody ought to respect the message and ought to be reverent towards the messenger, except for me. And because after all, I'm not going to go down that road. But man, that's a hard truth. And I hope my kid gets that. And I hope the neighbor gets that. I hope the family sitting over there gets that. I hope the ones that weren't here this day because they're out playing spiritual idolatry and harlotry against God get that on the podcast one day. Man, I get all that. And then you come to church and Jeremiah's standing in the door. And he's not even in the pulpit. And saying, you. And you, and you, and how awkward would that be? He's no longer walking the streets preaching where people can say, hey, he's not talking to me. He's standing in the door saying, you that have come to, you've come to worship? Oh yes, Jeremiah, you have forsaken God. That's pretty bad. No wonder so many preachers are introverts. It's easy to stand and preach generic truth. And then God says, all right, here's part of the job. Take that and go and say, you who are here to worship, this is not right. This is not of God. And you got two options, really. Get it right or leave. That's what God told them. I'm not saying, yeah, I guess I just did. Where God says, leave it, go get it right, and come back. Jeremiah's doing the same thing in the door of the temple. Hey, you're bringing the offerings, you got the sacrifice, I can hear it all, got it all together, it looks great, ready to have Sunday church. God's not pleased with you.
Yeah.
That's hard. How much more difficult when all the other prophets and pastors and priests in Jeremiah's day have compromised themselves and are nothing but hirelings who can't afford to go get an honest job, so they just keep telling people what they want to hear. And they keep misleading people and misrepresenting God. If you go over to Jeremiah chapter 23, here's just one reading out of many. You say, man, you sound meaner this afternoon than you did this morning. I know. One, because I'm so sick of these guys in Jeremiah, these prophets and priests, and they've been dead for years. I'm like, well, how can you do this and call yourself the messenger of God and mislead his people and pervert his message so greatly? To where now there are people who in chapter 3 are so devoid of knowledge and understanding. Well, Pastor so-and-so says, and Prophet so-and-so says, and this church says, and that church says, so forget you. I'm talking spiritual messengers. If your parents in this day we live in, it's no easier either. When all these other parents and pastors and churches are going willy-nilly, and by the way.
Yeah.
To say, well, this is how a young lady and a young man talks, and how they walk, and how they dress, and this is what we do, and this is what we don't do, and I'm not making this up. This is the message straight from God. They don't do it. And that pastor's wife doesn't do it. And that brother doesn't do it. And they don't. Okay, Jeremiah stopping at the door of the church and saying, what are you doing?
Right.
You and God. How are you reacting to the message of God and the messenger of God? Because he's not going to stand you up against another crooked piece of clay. He's going to stand you up against the plumb line of the word of God and the perfect, pure nature of his holy son. And we all fall short. But for Christ. I don't know where I was going. But Jeremiah 23, verse 25. Here's just one reading that I find curious. God says, I have heard what the prophet said. I mean, it wasn't just Jeremiah who was frustrated. God says, I've heard what the prophet said. And that prophesy lies in my name. Saying, I have dreamed. Watch out for those guys. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Nothing profitable is going to come from that. You say, what are you even trying to say? Just saying this about our heart, how we receive, how we respond, how we react to the message and the messenger. In a nutshell is this, you better know the book. You need to have the spirit of discernment. Because for every true pastor that is out there, there are hundreds of imposters. And if you're going to go a certain way just because the majority goes that way, you'll be going backwards and never forwards. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There will always be immature sheep who will follow anybody that's ringing the bell. But you don't go a certain way because the majority is headed that way. And you don't go a certain way just because another person said that. You better know the book, and you better have a spirit of discernment that can identify, is this a messenger from God or is it not? Is this the message of God or is it not? Acts 20 is a verse I referenced about pastors and shepherds. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. The Jeremiah's, the Josiah's, any spiritual leader, the messengers of God, parents, pastors, teachers, anyone who's trying to be the messenger of God, you've been called by God to speak on his behalf to other people. There's many of us in different capacities. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. That's where it starts. And all the flock. He is speaking primarily to the leaders of the church. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Does that not mean anything to anybody anymore? I'm not saying you. I'm saying in general, Christianity, spiritual leaders, the pastors that have gone out across this land and other lands, that this church is only here because he bought it with his own blood. And my job is simply to take heed to myself and then to lead and to feed the flock according to the word of God, because it is the church of God. In 1 Peter 5, he tells the church, or he tells pastors, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock.
Amen.
Well, that's Josiah. He's being a good political leader as a king. That's Jeremiah. They've taken heed to themselves, and now they're trying to lead and feed. Not by dictatorship, not by demands, not by peeping through keyholes at everybody to see what everybody's doing. Although if you publicly do something, publicly post something, anything's fair game. It's the reason I'm not on social media, hardly ever. Got back on recently, made one post and made people mad. And it was the first time I posted in ages. But by an example. So I'm talking about how do I respond, receive, research, respond to the word of God, the message of God. How do I receive and respond and react to the messengers of God? If they are indeed that. Because if they are, they're not supposed to be it by demand, but by example. I would say this to Judah. I would say this to the church at Ephesus. I'd say this to the church in Palermo. That if you can't, you say in my heart, I know. I can't trust the pastor I have. I know there's people from different churches. To take heed to himself. Take care of business in his own heart first. To lead me and to feed me. If he is not an example in his deportment, how he conducts himself, and in his doctrine, you need to ask for a new pastor. I make no bones about that. That if a church comes to the conclusion where they're like, that pastor is not the example in his deportment, he is not an example in his doctrine, I do not trust that he heeds, leads, and feeds according to the scripture, biblically, you should address that. And if it doesn't get corrected, you ought to ask for somebody else. The other side of that same coin is if you look at the scriptures and say, perfect, no. But according to the scriptures, I have a pastor who I believe knows how to take heed, lead, and feed. Then you need to follow. Amen. You need to obey. You need to respect and protect your messenger. Amen. You say, are you upset? I'm not. I'm bothered by the temperature of the landscape, and it's easier to say it that way than to stand in the door of the gate of the house. And say, in our generation, we have so reduced the office of pastor. We have so lessened our respect for the office. I'm convicted of this on a civil level because of how I think and speak about the office of president. I don't believe we have a duly, fairly elected president. Politically. Spiritually, God appoints who he will and sets up one and takes down another. I believe we have the man in power that God put in power. We deserve a wicked man to rule us. But we get so flippant and disrespectful towards the office because of who's in it, we just reduce it down to where it doesn't mean anything. Our nation's trying to do that about the Supreme Court. Well, it doesn't mean anything anymore. The highest officers of our life, that we'll just pack the bench, we'll just be able to remove people, we'll just, all these things, politically, spiritually. Can I say this about Jeremiah's? And I'm not trying to pretend I'm anywhere close to these guys. I'm saying this is one of those messages that is more awkward than to preach about the message, because the message is what we need. But how do we react and respond and receive the messenger? Is that the pastor is one of the brethren. Many times, and probably to a fault where I have caused damage, have I taught that. To where the pastor is one of the brethren, not above. So if the pastor is in a fault, you are to go to him. If he does not respond, you're to take somebody to him. If he does not respond, you're supposed to put it in front of the church. He's one of the brethren. Could I say this respectfully? He's not just one of the brethren. When we so reduce the office, it becomes based on personality, age, preferences, and where I'll respect the message, but I ain't got much respect for the messenger. It goes together. The flippancy usually goes together. There is nothing special and mystical about a messenger of God in and of himself. Nothing. But God makes it clear to Jeremiah, I have created you, I have commissioned you to carry out this word of truth, to take heed, to lead, and to feed. There is a way then for the opposite side. If Jeremiah knows I am created by God, commissioned by God, so I need to heed, lead, and feed, then there is arguably then Judah, a congregation, a other sheep of the pasture, who need to know how to be led and how to be fed. There is a way to follow a pastor, and there is a way not to follow a pastor. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And where Paul got out of line with Christ, you just keep following Christ. How many churches do we know have split, tanked, destroyed because they were built on personality or on a person and not on Jesus Christ? There is a way to follow a pastor and a way not to follow a pastor. I'm not talking about this pedestal stuff where it's man worship. I hate that garbage. But we don't have reduced everything down to the message was, oh, God didn't say that. That's not God's word. That's just opinion, because all these other pastors, and they've so reduced the message down and dilute it. But we run in danger of the same thing with a messenger, that it gets so reduced. There's a way to speak to a pastor, and there is a way not to speak to a pastor. These are the things I think about often. I said, I need to, not this particular thing, but just different things of life. I said, I need to on purpose teach myself and teach my children certain key things about life. That there are a way to speak to adults, there's a way not, things like that. Things came to mind and I started thinking, well, how do I respond to messages of God? How do I respond to messengers from God? There is a way to talk about a pastor. Guess what? There's a way not to talk about a pastor. You say, who's been talking about you? Nobody that I know of, which means probably every... No, I don't know if they've been talking about pastor. There's a way to address a pastor. There is a way not to address a pastor. Just lessons that I'm seeing floating to the surface from Josiah and Judah. Such a contrast of their response to the message and the messenger. Because they usually go pretty closely together. Where the message and the messenger, my response or my attitude towards. We can discredit the message and the messenger by saying, oh, that's an opinion or that's your private interpretation. God didn't say that. Or I'm not convicted about that. Or I don't see it that way. It's one of the quickest ways you can discredit the message and the messenger. We can disrespect the message and the messenger by our conduct and by our conversation. We should be no more flippant with a messenger of God, whether it is a parent, a teacher, a pastor, but he's dealing with pastors here. We're flippant with the messenger than we should the message. Not because the messenger is on the same plane, but he's not there by his own choosing. We can discredit the message by saying, well, that's not of God, that's your opinion. We can disrespect it by being flippant to a messenger, by being condescending, by being abrasive or just dismissive. You say, I'm never that way. I would hope not. But it's usually on our faces when it is. We can discourage the message or discourage the messenger by our lack of enthusiasm and or engagement. I'm not talking about just the worship service where, hey, we're singing. You got to throw your suit coat and run laps around the building. I would put a stop to that fast. I've been in meetings where Baptist preachers have got up and thrown their coats and ran in circles. God's not in that either. And say, oh, that's just a Southern thing. No, it's a carnal thing, not the message. But do I have any enthusiasm, any excitement, any spirit, any willingness to be engaged? Or am I too carnally minded, earthly minded, to be intricately involved. If a flock can discredit and disrespect and discourage, then the exhortation is that I can also credit, respect, and encourage. I can credit the message and the messenger when I receive it for what it is, the church at Thessalonica, the Word of God. When I research it like the believers at Berea and go home and study the scriptures to see if these things are so. And any preacher that's threatened by that isn't worth his salt. I credit the message rather than discredit when I receive, when I research, and I respond. I move out of disrespect into respect, the same avenue. If I can disrespect by my conduct and conversation, I can respect by my conversation and my conduct and be reverent and respective and receptive to the messenger. And rather than discourage, I can encourage by my spirit and by my support. Whether it's a spoken word, whether it's a thought, whether it's just demonstrable in my life that I am growing. I am giving, not just financially. I don't know who gives and I don't want to. Giving to my life to Christ, where I'm getting involved in the things of God. All that to say, how is my heart towards the message and towards the messenger that God said, if you will recognize, receive, repent, return, I will give you pastors according to my heart. They will lead you. They will increase your understanding and your wisdom. Not because they have anything in and of themselves, but because they can bring and preach the whole canon of scriptures in God's leading and can teach themselves and you the word of God collectively, corporately. Or if you'd rather, stop the ears, stop the eyes, because there's a heart problem. God's told all through the scriptures, heap to yourselves teachers. Keep going by all these blind prophets and preachers and pastors. And when the blind leads the blind, they both end up in the ditch. Just interesting to me, that word. It just jumped out at me, thought I'd share it. I will give you pastors that the Lord might help us have the right response, reaction to the message and the messenger. Maybe a preventative maintenance more than a corrective maintenance message. I don't know. That we ask, Lord, help me. Help me have the right actions, the right reactions, the right interactions with the message and the messenger. Let's have a word of prayer.